Now, in chapter 26, it continues to talk about the kingdom. We have, first of all, prospect. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah, verse 1. That's the prospect. They're going to have a song in that day. They don't have it today, friends. It'd be very difficult to say that the present return is a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, we have introspection, and that is in verse 9. He says, "There with my soul have I desired thee in the night." And that is something, I wonder how many of us recognize this and recognize this great need. Now, we saw it in the little Song of Solomon, the book of the Song of Solomon. And you remember there when the bride spoke of, "Kiss me," and that was the kiss of pardon and of peace and of passion. And then the bride recognized she couldn't rise to the heights. And she says, "Draw me, and I'll run after thee." That's what you have here. "With my soul have I desired thee in the night." Do you have today a passion for God? Oh, I hear so much of this pseudo and this smattering of spirituality today. And it has to do with this piousity and quoting of pious platitudes. I get so tired of hearing them. Oh, I love the Lord, and I want to serve Him. My friend, when you lie on your bed at night, do you have a desire for God? You really want Him? Do you have a real passion? Are you able to say, "Draw me, I want to run after you"? And in that day, they will be saying, I tell you, this will make the millennium any day in the week. "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early." I find in my life, and I make a confession, I find I'm running from Him a great deal of the time. And I find I get way out ahead and maybe step out of His will. And then the tensions come. And then I'm frustrated. And then I say, oh, I've left Him. I've gotten away from Him. I'm not close to Him. May I say to you that our soul might cry out for Him today? I don't see much of that, friends. I don't mean to be critical. Well, I don't see much of it. And when I do detect it, what a blessing it is to my own heart. Now, retrospect, verses 16 through 21 here. And this looks back on the past. The picture is a woman with child. Verse 17, "Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of delivery, is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O God." They look back to the past. And that great tribulation was like travail. Verse 18, "We've been with child. We've been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth." And today, my friend, the suffering that comes to you, that can be a birth pang that'll bring forth something worthwhile, or it can be just wind. And I'm afraid a lot of us are suffering today for nothing. Because of the fact we are not seeing in it that all things work together for the glory of God. We're talking now about the millennium, but some of us could be actually living in the state of the millennium today. Verse 19, and let me read this. It says, "Thy dead man shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Now put with that the wonderful fact that these people are looking back during the time of the kingdom here on earth, the fact that they went through the great tribulation period, and as they went through the great tribulation period, it was like travail of a woman with child. And now they are in the millennial kingdom. And he goes on to say here, thy dead shall live. Now, this is, as it were, the voice of Jehovah breaking into the prophet's reverie as he looks back. Thy dead shall live. Well, who's dead? Well, obviously, I think it's the nation Israel. That's what he's talking about in this chapter. And he continues, my dead body shall arise. Now, some interpret this as the national resurrection of the nation Israel, as it's used in Ezekiel 37, where we have the valley of dry bones as the counterpart. Well, others, they turn to Daniel 12:2, where the resurrection there is definitely individuals. Well, somebody says it's not both national and individual, is it? Well, I think actually it refers to both. Why? Well, it's difficult to have a resurrection of a nation, as suggested here, without having the resurrection of the individuals who constitute that nation. I don't see how you could have a resurrection without the resurrection of the individuals. Now, these dead are now included in the Hallelujah chorus, and the word is, awake and sing. Now, the thing that impresses me about the millennial kingdom here upon this earth, you and I are living on an earth that's actually, in one sense, and if you want a doleful picture of it, it's a cemetery. They're dead everywhere today. Cemeteries everywhere. And there's not a moment of the day or night but what there isn't a procession on the way to the cemetery. Now, that's not something to think about all the time because it's not a pretty picture. But God says this earth was never intended to be a big cemetery. He's going to stop that trend and he'll reverse it. He's bringing back from the dead not only the saved, but the lost. And they're being brought back for judgment. The whole thought here is that this earth that you and I live on will never have a dead body in it throughout eternity. That's going to make it a pretty nice place to live.